Welcome to the chat with Linda Sims. I have here with me today Maddie Mays. And how are you, Mother Mays?
I am doing good this morning.
That's great. And I'm so glad that you accepted my invitation to be my guest today.
Thank you for coming. It was very nice of you to remember and ask me to come. So I gladly accepted your appointment.
Thank you so very much, so very much. There's a little more information I need to put out about our show. The chat with Linda Sims is live on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the net, www.wwgh1071.com. I do want you to call in. Call in right now if you would like to connect with Maddie Mays of Mays Community Temple by calling 740-383-9944. You can call in at any time, give your thoughts, ideas, and some maybe your opinions, and receive. We will connect with you immediately. I also would like to share with you a thought for today. Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. Okay. All right. I do have her original title. She is the supervisor of women of the Ohio Central East Jurisdiction of Ohio. That is her official title. And we all call her Mother Mays. So if I say Mother Mays, just kind of look over that. Her name is Maddie Mays of Marion, Ohio. And I have already introduced you to her. I have given you the thought for today. And now we will continue with talking with Maddie Mays. You look so lovely today and beautiful.
Thank you.
As always.
Thank you.
As always.
I feel honored and blessed. I'm still here.
Amen. And you know, maybe if people, there may be some people who do not know you that we may be introducing you to today. And I would like to say, ladies and gentlemen, she is definitely a trendsetter when it comes to dressing. Very, very lovely lady of God. And I thank God for knowing her and being in her presence today. Now, Maddie Mays, could you give us just a little background about yourself, where you grew up? And
well, I was originally born down south. And we moved up here from Dawson, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the age of 13 when we left Georgia and came to Ohio. And we moved to Mansfield, Ohio. And we lived there the rest of the time before coming to Marion, Ohio. And I have five sisters. One of them is gone to be with the Lord. Four of us yet living. My husband was Ella John W. Mays.
Mm-hmm.
All of my sisters was married. We had great families. Our children are great. My mother, she raised five girls. My father went home to be with the Lord at an early age.
Did
and
he?
She was determined to raise us as a single parent, and we think she did a great job.
Amen.
Of raising five girls. And all of us graduated from high school. Some of us went to college, got degrees in different things. And after living in Mansfield for many, many years, my husband was appointed to come to Marion, Ohio, as pastor. And I came with him, and we worked in the ministry here in Marion for 45 years.
Okay.
He'd been gone now 5 years, going on 6 years. And we worked together in the ministry here, and he established a couple churches here in Marion. And I was working by his side as co-pastor. And we have done many things in the city of Marion. My husband was a great man in the city of Marion. Everyone knows him real, real well, and his work speaks for itself. And we just feel so blessed after coming to Marion, been here for 45 years, and the work that the Lord has used us to achieve and accomplish. So now I'm still working for the Lord in a great way. We work at my local church. I work as jurisdiction supervisor. And of course, most of the city of Marion and all over the state of Ohio and others, I'm known as Mom, Mother Mays, Supervisor Mays, Sister Mays, and Mom. And I answer to all of those calls. I think it's so special for somebody to even feel, make you feel worthy of being called those titles.
That's true.
And it's all because of the Lord's doing. It's
yes.
all the Lord's doing.
Yes.
I have my son, Johnny. I have son, Christopher Mays, and a daughter, Christy Mays. And grandchildren, I have great-grandchildren. I have two great-grand and five grand.
Ooh, what a blessing, Mother.
And I love them all, and they are so special. And they are all here, and believe it or not, they are all in the church, working in the church, doing a ministry in the church. LaCosta Mays, Christopher Mays does drums. Christy's a director of the choir, and she sings and minister all over. Johnny, he's working in the music department at Mays Community Temple, and he loves it. He sings as well. All
oh,
of my
yes.
children are very gifted, and I thank God for that.
That's beautiful, Mother Mays. Not too many people can say all of their children are in the church and working. That's just beautiful.
I feel
beautiful.
Honored and blessed, and that all is from my companion, Pastor Ella John W. Mays. What a great man, loved the Lord, and he instilled that in the children. And they're still going on, doing great at this time. And to God be the glory and the honor.
Amen, amen. I agree with you on that. You know, some people say, well, I'm there, but where are my children? You know, people look around and wonder where their children are and what they're doing. But they're in church themselves. So sometimes we think that there may be a generation just missing from, you know, being in the presence of God.
Yes.
and learning the skills that they need to cope, you know, in the outside world. And that's where we learn how to cope and get along with other people, you know, by being in the presence of the Lord and around the saints who put their arms around us and encourage us to go on.
Yes.
And I would like to say, I know that you have all those many other names, but I have a few names here myself.
Praise
that
God.
That I see when I
Praise
see
God.
And talk to you.
Praise God.
You are a confidant. People can trust you with things that they say to you that may be bothering them, or they may be having a hard time getting along or knowing, you know, personal things.
Yes, ma'am.
You're a confidant to people, and they can come to you. And also, you are a mentor. You mentor young women.
Yes.
And young men in your church.
Yes.
Because I've been there to a women's meeting, and you were just exceptionally strong and confident, and you helped to give us courage, you know, to stand up and be women and be proud, and how to even deal with a man, you know, your husband or coming up in a relationship. And those things are priceless.
They are. They are.
People pay great money for advice that you just give freely.
It all comes from the Lord and wisdom. The scripture says, a wise woman builds her house and a foolish woman plucks it down. So after coming saved and knowing the Lord at the age of 19, mm-hmm. in 1955 in Mansfield, Ohio, the Lord saved me and filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I've been working for him ever since. And I tried to do my best. I tried to be trustworthy and obedient to the leading of the Lord. And you're supposed to live according to the Bible and what the Bible says, to live righteous, to be holy, and let your life speak for yourself.
Amen.
And I thank and praise God for that. And I give all the honor and all the glory to God,
mm-hmm.
and to the support of Elder John W. Mays, who was such a great man in my life for 51 years.
Mm.
We was together for 51 years.
That's
and
a long
we
time.
Worked together from the age for 55 years,
mm-hmm.
when I began serving the Lord. So I feel so blessed to yet be moving along and doing what thus says the Lord and what he has signed me to do.
Amen. I, you know, being a widow myself, and I know that he led his family and also you along his journey with God. And what is it that you miss most about him at this time in your life?
I could use one word, make a statement and say everything.
Everything.
I can just say everything because he taught me so much and I learned so much. He was such a great experienced man, an inspirational man. And I watch him all those years as he pastored the church. He pastored the church here in Marion for 45 years. He established Mays Community Temple, the name. Mays Community Temple, because he done such a great work and he stood so tall in the community, and he was on many, many areas working with different things in Marion. And he enjoyed the work, and he was a man that loved people. And they have quite a few things named after him now that he established. So he was a great man of God in my life.
Amen.
And for my children, he was a great father, he was a great grandfather, and he just was a great man. And using the word, he was everything to me. I can truly say Pastor John W. Mays was everything to me, and I miss him so much, and our church misses him so much. But he left a foundation that the church is yet going on in his name, and there are respect him. We have, they give me a day of the year, Co-Founders Day, and that's great. And my church people, they respect me and honor me. They don't push me to the side. They love me, and I love them just as they love Father Mays and Dad Mays. They call him Grandpa Mays. And I just thank the Lord for the foundation that he laid with the natural and the spiritual family in Marion, Ohio.
Amen. So that means that through the work that he did and the legacy that he left, he made the transition easier after he demised for the church to continue on with a new pastor.
Yes, ma'am. And with our new pastor, the transition has been very easy. The church chose Pastor Sean Jackson, First Lady Lana, and their family to follow in Ella Mays' footstep, and he has done a great job and is doing a great job as a young man, and
right,
the people love him. And it's hardly a service we go to that our present pastor doesn't mention the words of wisdom that Ella Mays instilled with him that he is following now.
Right.
And he don't try to push him in a corner and don't remember him. He remembers him, and the church remember him. And of course, everybody call him Grandpa Mays, Daddy Mays, Ella Mays, Father Mays, and they just do that. And I feel so great and honor for them to not to have forgotten him and the work that he done, even in the city and throughout Ohio.
That's great. It's hard to forget a legacy like that and just pass by it and, you know, just think nothing of it. And legacies, you know, it, like my pastor said, it doesn't really matter how you start, it's how you finish, you know. And that's what you leave is your legacy.
That's,
you know,
what he left.
Yes.
A great legacy.
A great legacy. I know I have never really talked to you about this, but I know that there was a difficult time in your life, in your family's life, when your daughter was going through a certain disease that she had.
Streptococcal pneumonia.
Oh, my goodness. And I can't imagine what you went through during that time and how it affected you and your family. And I know your husband was still alive during this time, wasn't
he?
Yes, that was...
13 years ago now, because it happened in June.
Okay.
13 years ago. And streptococcal pneumonia just took over. In fact, it just done so many things and taken so much from her. But she is so encouraged and still going on. The doctor sent her home to die with
right.
that disease and said if she lived and came through that, she would be a vegetable. Mm-hmm. But she is not a vegetable.
No.
He said she would never walk, never talk, never eat. Only thing she would do would just lay in the bed and deteriorate away. Mm-hmm. But God didn't say that.
Amen.
And she's back working in the church 100%, directing the choir. She's singing, going places, and she's just wonderful at the church, and she has such a legacy in music, and mm-hmm. she loves singing. And she's eating everything she wants to eat. She's even driving. Just before Dad went home to be with the Lord, he had ordered a special van for her because he said, you can do it.
Right.
And it's going to be better than what you think. And she's driving me everywhere I go now. I don't even have to drive out of town anymore. She does my driving. She takes my appointments. She helps me with all of my business. She took up where Pastor Mays left off. And I don't know what I would do. And I tell her all the time, I don't know what I would do without her. And my sons, they check on me every day. They come by every day. They calls me. They just took up where Ella Mays left off, and I just feel so blessed. But Christy, that disease, it took some of her parts, some of her limbs from her. But she's walking,
right?
She's
right,
talking,
right.
She's singing, she's using her hands, she's going where she wanna and doing what she wanna. She is not a vegetable, she's
Amen.
A real person,
Amen.
Alive, and she's a testimony today, and she is so blessed. And I'm so blessed, and my family is blessed, and we love her to the most and to the highest.
And you being a great woman of faith, or a woman with great faith, what was it like for you to hear that the report of the doctors?
When we heard that report, my husband's, because they wanted to take all her limbs from her, and she would have just been a stump.
Oh,
and
no.
He said, we're not going to do that.
Right.
And he said, you give me 3 days, and we're going to fast, and we're going to pray, and mm-hmm. we're going to intercede and go before God. And I'll let you know in 3 days mm-hmm. what you're going to take from her. And when he came back the 3 days, the Lord had told Ella Mays and the family that we wasn't going to allow that type of surgery for her.
Right.
And we didn't. By faith and trusting God, she went through the surgery, and it came out, as Ella Mays said, better than what you think. And she's alive. It was not easy, and it's still not easy.
Right.
It's still not easy, even today. Even though this happened or that happened, it's something you just live with, but
yes.
you can be happy.
Yes.
And so we are living with the situation, but we are not sad. We are not dead. We're not disappointed in what she's doing. We're happy for what
right.
she's doing, and she's doing a great job. But it took a lot of faith, and it took a lot of prayer,
yes.
and it took a lot of fasting.
Yes.
And I was there in that hospital for 5 months. I never came home, but one time, and we was going through a process of buying a home, so when she come out, she would be happy and comfortable.
Yes.
And that's what the Lord blessed us to do. And the members from the church, they just did everything for Pastor Mays and I. They was there every step of the way, and they made it even easier than what it was if we had been left alone. But we
Amen.
Was never alone, naturally, not spiritually, because the people in this city was so great to us, and especially of Mays Community Temple, Church of God in Christ, where Ella Mays was the founder, and I was the co-founder of that church. They've been nice, and I can say the city of Marion is still doing great things in Ella Mays' honor, and we feel so blessed and so honored.
I'm really blessed to have you here with me today and share with me those thoughts about your daughter. And I know that was a traumatizing time in your
yes.
life. And I'm just saying, from my viewpoint, I was living in Georgia at the time, and I would hear reports of, you know, what's going on with different people in Marion. And I also joined in those prayers.
Yes.
And I know that there was a time you joined in with prayers
yes.
for me when
yes.
I was sick, you know,
yes.
with cancer. And, I just thank God when I saw her, it was like those reports that I heard was null and void. because she was walking, she was talking, she was the complete opposite of what the doctor's report was.
Yes.
But we believe the report of the Lord and your husband and how he took a hold and he went to God first.
Yes. Yes.
You holding his hand and his family and the community and your church and everybody. And God is...
Everybody.
Hey,
that's right. Everybody.
You can't be God-given, right?
Right. The more you give, the more he'll give back to you. Just keep on trusting,
Jesus,
and keep on living. Keep on believing. And that's where we are today.
That's right.
We just trusting and believing in God. Having faith in God. And it's all in his hand. They said put it all in his hand. So we has put it all in his hand.
Amen. Amen.
And we thank
Amen.
God for you, Sister Sim. You're doing such a great job. And you're ministering, even not knowing that you're ministering, but your voice and you going out in the people, giving people opportunity to give their testimonies and to let them know that there's a real Jesus.
Yes, it
and
is.
And a real God and a real Savior. And we can go to him anytime in prayer. And I remember when you was going through and we prayed for you. But God.
But
and
God.
Look at you now.
Amen.
Just look at you now.
Praise God. It's all him. I understand when you say it was him. I know it was him in the prayers,
yes,
of his people, you know, coming together and standing.
That's it. Unity.
Yes. Refusing Harmony. To take no for an answer, you know. I was sharing that with someone yesterday. You just have to refuse to take no for an answer.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord.
Yes.
He says, I am healed and I am sealed.
Yes.
I am delivered and I am set free.
Yes.
You know, so I think about that daily, even when I get up on those days and I'm sad and, you know, having a hard time getting around. I thank you for my life. I thank him for my life.
Just as the scripture said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I thank God for saving
yes.
me and giving me peace and taking me through, because nothing is too hard for God.
Right.
When it's hard for man, it's just right for God.
Yes, absolutely. And looking at the miracles he has performed amongst the people that we walk and talk with every day or once a week or once a month or see him every other year, you know, miracles. God has performed miracles.
Yes.
And we have,
yes,
we are beholding his goodness,
yes,
you know, and his mercy. And you just cannot exchange.
Forget.
No, and you can't forget. You can't exchange what he does for you, you know. But I am so glad to know that Christy's doing much, much better. I heard her saying not too long ago, you can't even tell there's any difference.
Amen.
You can't. She's still got that fire bubbling up in her belly, and she goes on with it, you know. To
it's
God
God's
be the
doing.
Glory. Yes, absolutely.
And she and my nephew, they work so closely in the music department, and my son,
mm-hmm,
they all three works together. They own the praise team at church together, and he, of course, you know, he plays the organ. But he have the greatest respect for Christy, and they look to her for directions and instructions, because the Lord put her in that place as far as her talent.
Right.
And that's what she loves. And she's not very selfish at all. She even works with the community choir with Sister Modest. Her and Sister Modest works together. Her and Sister Katie Reese, they work together. They're all in music. And it's a team.
Right.
And Ella Mays put the community choir together, and it's still going.
Mm-hmm.
The Thanksgiving dinner is still going. It just name, I can name so many things of a foundation that he's laid, and the people are yet being blessed. That's why they called him Father Abraham. Father Abraham, many,
right,
many children. And we just feel so blessed of the Lord to be in the community,
mm-hmm,
of Marion. We have a love for the city and the community of Marion. And we thank God for all the elders that work with Pastor Mays then, and they carry on the legacy. So we just feel blessed for the churches in Marion and the fellowship that we are in. He started that fellowship with the pastors, and they're carrying it on right now. the sunrise service. Oh, the list goes on. But
it's on and on.
Don't take any honor to ourselves. And we love people. That's what makes it easier. And people
That's
love
true.
Us back.
That's true. Absolutely. That is so true. Now, me saying that you are an encourager and a motivator, you know that I think in the past few years we have been dealing with Black Lives Matter, this big movement that's been going on, and the killing of a lot of our youth, young men, even as 12 years old. And I was, someone had a clip on Facebook. He was a ex-football player, and he was saying he was so grieved in his spirit because black-on-black crime.
Yes.
How it has escalated just from last year to this year in the Chicago area and throughout the United States. Mother, what could you say to our young people today as far as killing one another and what, you know, something to deter them that maybe they could start to turn their lives around and look at one another different?
Well, first of all, the Lord want our children to be obedient to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And we've in a generation of people, the last three generations, I would say, their obedience to their parents has really kind of withered. They have seem like they want to have a mind of their own and don't want to follow instructions.
Right.
See, back in the day, our parents taken us to church. They didn't send us, they taken us.
Right.
But I do find in our young generation of raising parents, there has been a change. And it seems as though we are not taking the attention to our children as far as training them. The Bible says, train them up in the way they should go.
Right.
And when they are old, they won't depart. So we can't make them accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
Mm-hmm.
But we can teach them that we're supposed to love the Lord. And we can take them to Sunday school and take them to church and put them in youth activities at church and give them the other side of life instead of giving them just one side. They need to know both sides. And then when they come of age, they can choose what side they want. This is the young people sang the song, "Whose side are you living on?" I'm living on Jesus' side. So the children, they have lost a great respect for their parents.
Yes.
And I think in parenting today, we could take a little bit more of our time to share and give attention to our children and pay attention to them as well. So we are a team. We work with our young peoples as a team, and our young people should give us the respect as parents.
No.
And when we say train them, they can't train themselves. We have to train them and show them and tell them and instruct them how to love the Lord.
That's
and to
true.
Be a part of the church as growing up. But this killing and shooting, I don't know what the outbreak is other than Satan. See, the Bible said in the last days he would be going to and fro, up and down, seeking who he can destroy. And this is what he's doing, and the Bible is being fulfilled. But we have to instill in the children that, like the Bible say, thou shalt not kill.
That's right.
And if we know we're not to kill, we shouldn't do it. But the enemy has gotten so terrible and out of hand in the mind of the people, our youth as well as our adults, until we hardly trying to have no place there for God.
Mm-hmm.
But see, God is the first of our life. And
yes,
we should teach them to pray. And when we teach them to pray the Lord's Prayer, and they learn that Lord's Prayer and let it be a part of their life, those things in the Lord's Prayer that say what we shouldn't do, and the 23rd Psalm, and thou should not kill, we should love thy neighbor as thyself, these things are not being taught prevalent as it used to be.
True.
And some of the kids don't even hear that anymore. But I think if we would pray and have family prayer in the home, have Bible study in the home as well, this would help them guide them a little bit in a different direction on the spiritual part of training them mm-hmm. how to love themselves as well as love others. We have to first have a love for ourselves as well as for God. And the young people got to love themselves.
True.
They got to love themselves because love makes a difference. Love makes a difference. Prayer changes things. And being committed and being dedicated. And we find such little dedication and commitment anymore. Mm-hmm. But we have to keep all of that alive in the and prevalent before the children and the adults as well.
Like you said, the adults are falling off too,
yes.
You know, and marriages are disintegrating and they're almost no more, you know. People find it more comfortable to live together, and if they don't like that, they move on to the next person, you know. And it's just hard to even try to establish any type of relationship with the opposite sex anymore. And I would definitely appreciate you talking to some adults out there also as far as strengthening the family.
Yes, ma'am. And that's what I do almost on a daily basis. I do a lot of counseling, personal counseling.
Okay.
And people call me for many, many things, as far as marriages and raising the children, and sometimes things go wrong in the church. But we never talk against anybody.
Right.
We talk love and speak love of how if someone is wrong, two wrongs never made a right.
Right.
So you have to tell them the right side and the right way and mm-hmm. give them the right instruction. And there was a time when I never heard about divorces when I was growing up. The parents just didn't do that. And if they did, it was so rare, you know.
Right, right.
But it seemed like anymore, that's the thing. If they don't like you, or you don't do right, or you do that, but you can't not do that. You have to stay there and try to talk it out. Get your marriage together and love one another. Love covers a multitude of faults. We know no one is perfect
right.
in life, and we're going to make mistakes. But just because we make a mistake, that doesn't mean we have to leave home, leave the children, leave the wife, get divorced. We stay there and work it out, talk it out, make up, and just do the things that the way the Lord would have us to do, not run away from the problem, but solve the problem. And there is a way to solve every situation. And I think we as parents and husbands and wives, we're supposed to do more things together and let the children see the husband loving the wife loving the husband, and not having everybody in and out the houses. See, our houses has come not as respectful as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
We should respect our children in the home, and let there be a home of love, home of prayer, home of peace, home of teaching. And when they see that going on among husbands and wives, you're sowing a seed in the children's life.
True.
You're laying a foundation. So when they become of age to want to have marriage and have children, they can say, I'm going to be like my mom. I'm going to be like my dad.
Right.
But if they come up just the opposite, don't trust each other, don't have the love for one another, the children will follow that pattern.
Right.
But we don't want our children to see all those things. And some things they shouldn't ever see us do in the home as husband and wife. There's some things they should never hear or say to one another as husband and wife. We should always show love. The Bible say, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. And this is how we keep a family together, by loving on each other and being there for each other. When times get harder, we come discouraged. The husband might have a hard day on the job, but when
right.
he come home, that wife should have it nice and comfortable for him, nice dinner fixed for him, the house clean for him. Then they have their personal time to talk, even with the children and with each other. And this is building the husband and wife and the children together.
Right.
They are growing together as a family.
Mm-hmm.
But the families now is so separate. We hardly get to eat dinner together. The children has to go here, I have to go there, and I have my thing here, and he have his thing there. But there's a time when we have to put ourselves apart from everything and be a family love.
That's true. What a wealth of information that you have shared with my listeners here today about the family and our children growing up and what position a mother and a father should have in the home and along with their children, because we can't keep up with the ways of the world. It's going too fast for us, and we can't keep up.
No.
And I agree with you. We must maintain that foundation of love.
Love.
You know, and I noticed myself that they do not respect authority. They are angry. They have anxiety. Out the wahoo, whatever, however they want to put it, you know.
Yes.
You have adults dealing with the same thing, anger and anxiety. And walking around as if they don't know the answer.
Yes.
You know, that they don't know the answer. If one know it, they don't want to hear it from that person. It's like, well, how can we come together?
Yes.
If we can't sit and talk, right?
Communication is one of the greatest way to survive.
Yes,
communication. If you don't have open communication with one another, you shouldn't have secrets and hide things in
right.
the home. You should have a time to talk with the husband, time to talk with the children. And one thing, we need to respect each other
True.
In our places. And I'm learning and seeing and finding out that we're losing respect for one another as husbands and wives. We losing respect. The children don't have the respect for us as they should. There's a reason for that.
Right.
But when we was born into the world, you know, there was three things that we supposed to have. And that's love and respect and education.
True.
Education is very important. We have to make sure our children go to school and get education.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, a lot of us didn't have that privilege. But now that all the opportunities and privilege are there for the kids to get their education.
Right.
And we supposed to respect our children. And the children supposed to respect us. And we're supposed to love. You cannot put enough emphasis on love in the family.
Amen.
And respecting each other in their place. Children, we owe them respect. They might be children, but you just can't always shoo them off and say, I ain't got time. You
right.
got to take time.
That's true.
Time is very important in the home.
That's true.
Time.
Because after
means
all,
something.
We brought them here, right? They didn't ask to come, right?
Right. You're so right.
And that was so key. Yes, we do need to respect them. Because they say if you want respect, you have to earn
Give
it.
Give respect.
You know,
and
if you don't respect your child, you cannot expect them in turn to respect you or your program or your authority. And then when they don't respect your authority, they don't respect the authority of the teacher, the principal, the policeman, or no one else. You know, wow. That is so wonderful how you just tied that all up in a pretty little bow and hopefully our listeners will get something from that, those of you who are still raising children. And, you know, some of us have grown children we're still trying to raise.
We're there.
And, yeah,
we're there
and lead
for them.
You know, and lead them in love.
Like,
now, I want to talk about your duties as the supervisor of the women of the Ohio Central East Jurisdiction. We have a few minutes, and before I let you finish the show with that, I want to tell you that at the tournament last year, and I interviewed you, and I put it on Facebook. Remember that? And you didn't want to go. You said, oh, girl, I don't want to go. Where are you going to put that? I said, I'm going to put it on Facebook. No, I ain't ready for that. You had more views than anyone else I had an interview with out there, and I want to share that with you.
Praise God.
More views. People were just talking about that and listening to the little clip that you and I did. So that was so encouraging. And I'll be back. Lord bless and say the same.
To God be the glory. To God be the glory.
But we have about 2 minutes. And could you share just a little bit about your duties?
Well, as a supervisor of the OCE, we have over 50 churches in our jurisdiction. And Bishop Heron is my bishop, and we
okay.
work together. and he has placed me over the ladies. We do a lot of training, and we have quarterly meetings with the district missionaries and the assistant supervisors. We come together and put a program together, and then we present it to the women at large. Right. Then we have certain days, certain time of year that we are in charge of groups and conferences, and we go around in the jurisdiction speaking and training and talking to the churches on some of the same things that we've been talking about today,
right.
Training. And you have to be trained in the church to be whoever you are, whatever title you have to put the action to the title,
yes.
And do what it means and what it says. So we have the district missionary, they're part of my cabinet, and they work directly with me along with the assistant supervisor. And our, like in September coming up, we're having what you call an OCE Women's Convention here in Marion.
Okay.
And we've had that for the last 5 years now, but it wasn't here every time, but it's going to be here this time. It was here the last couple times, and women and men come from all areas, but usually the women are in charge during those days. And also we have what you call the Young Women Christian Council. We have different auxiliaries in the church that directly specifically goes to the young women, mm-hmm. of how to love their husband, how the husband love their wife, how to rear their children, and how we teach the children. It's a teaching,
right.
Program and process,
right.
But it's also a fellowship too, that the women throughout the body of Christ come together and we be as one, being active and teach. Is they have a saying, each one teach one.
Oh,
so
yes.
Nobody knows everything. We are workers together in unity and in harmony, mm-hmm. on a state level basic.
Okay.
Just like we teach in our local church, you have Sunshine Band, we have Sunday School we tell them to go to, and the Mission Society. All of those names that come up, we have ladies working in over those particular titles, and it spreads all over. So the district missionaries are the main ladies and the assistant supervisor, but all the evangelists,
right.
Women that run revivals, we have some acting pastors in ladies department, but it all gives the women opportunity and a chance to come together and express themselves with one another and share.
Thank you, Supervisor Maddie Mays. You have been listening to The Chat with Linda Sims here at WWGH.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For legendary talk show host Larry King.
You were hurt when they gave you the 1 year. How did this make you feel when you got the news? 27 years with that company.
Well, you know, It's never easy, you know. I mean, I could have taken extra one. I had 1 year coming, so I did that 1 year, and they were fine with me. You know, Colin Powell said it best to me: when the train gets to the last stop, you get off, and nothing is forever. I never owned the camera. I was an employee of Time Warner. They were very good to me. I was very good for them. It wasn't a divorce per se. It was a long, happy marriage.
And legendary dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
No, he won't call on me. I had two news conferences. I was in his face. I had my hand up and so forth, but he's afraid of my questions, and my questions are very direct. Why are we in a war? Unprovoked. Killing innocent people who had no right to be in Iraq, period.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Hemmerly's Flowers and Gifts, address 615 East Center Street here in Marion, telephone number 740-387-1163, website hemmerlysflowers.com, is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio.
This is Margaret Hazlett, and you can catch my friends Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, and Marianne Michaels every Friday from 12 to 10 to 1 for the Exchange Club. They discuss topics of the day and take your calls at 740-383.